I want to talk today on the prescribed priority of personal prayer. You might say in a short form, pray before you act. And too often, many do not speak with God, discern with God, pray and listen to God before they make even really big decisions in their life. You know, brothers and sisters, some people go off and get married. They never really ask God. They say, well, we're in love. Now, some of you know, either by personal experience or secondhand experience, a good friend or someone who went off and made some pretty big mistakes that way. Some people take major job changes and so on before really speaking with God. It's just too easy to just go off and do our own thing and skip the most important thing, which is to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to Him, and let Him take the initiative and let Him lead us through our life. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at our friend Martha here and her sister Mary, and let's take a look at what happens. I've heard a lot of sermons about this gospel that basically say that we're supposed to have a proper balance of work and prayer. Well, I suppose that's a good idea, but that's not really what this gospel is saying. This gospel is saying that prayer has priority, that prayer must precede every work of ours. So it's not about a balance, it's about a precedence that the Lord is teaching us. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at the first stage of this story of Martha and her sister Mary. And the first stage is what I'm going to call the promising prelude. It says that Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. Hallelujah, church. This is faith. Amen? Now, you see, the Lord knocks. The Lord always is the one who takes the initiative. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you. It's the Lord who knocks, it is we who answer. You're not here today for any other reason than this: God called you and you said, here I am. It's always God who initiates and paves the way for us to have faith. So it is that we have this beautiful image of the Lord who says, if you will, and like he said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, church, I want you to pay attention, because that verse teaches that it's the Lord who gives the meal. Now, pay attention, because Martha's going to get a little bit backwards. But here we are. Jesus has taken the initiative. He's entered the village. He's, if you will, put out word to the people there, and Martha welcomes him. This is very good news. This is faith, and this is the very beginning of her relationship with the Lord. But let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus sought her out because he was looking for a free meal? Do you think that was his main motive? You see, probably what he wanted to do, because he was a preacher. I had some young people to breakfast this morning who are going away to college. And they kind of wanted to know, why does this pastor want us to come to breakfast? And so I just told him right at the beginning, you know why I called you to breakfast. I brought you to breakfast to preach the gospel to you. Because I'm a preacher and a priest. And that's what I most want to do, is to give the word of God, to give the sacraments. And I am sure that Jesus' primary motive in entering Martha's house was to be able for him to feed her. But what seems to have happened, we don't have all the details, is that she said, now you just sit right there, Lord. You just sit right there. Now, Mary, you take care of him, and I'm going to go fix a big meal. But you can sort of see Jesus saying, but Martha, no, you sit right there, Lord. I'm going to get you something. It'll stick to your ribs, and you're just going to love it. And she's just off to the races. There's no evidence that she asked the Lord, would he like a meal? None of this at all. We simply see that she welcomes him and goes right to work. Now, that's how some of us are in our life. We say, Lord, welcome into my life. Now, you have a seat, I'll get right to you. Wait till you see all the good things I can do for you, Lord. And the Lord says, wait, I want to preach to you. But we never sit still long enough. We're running here, running there, and a lot of times we're telling ourselves, I'm doing the Lord's work. And we never asked him. Or is it just me, church? Oh, okay, I'm glad. Just want to make sure that it wasn't just me this morning who was occasionally run off and done that. So you see, brothers and sisters, we got Martha here, and there's a wonderful, promising prelude. Jesus comes, and she welcomes him into her home. That's a very good start. But as far as we can tell, she had him immediately take a seat, and she ran off to get a meal started. And what we begin to see is that the Lord probably wanted to just have her be seated so he could preach, teach, and feed her. Now, with that in mind, the great vision here, we move on. We see next, not just the promising prelude, but we see a portrait of prayer. It says, she had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Now, what a beautiful image of prayer this is. Pay close attention. You see, a lot of people say that they're going to go say their prayers. You ever talk like that? I'm going to go say my prayers. Well, I want you to understand that the best image for prayer is that it's a conversation with God. Amen? Now, talking, that's part of the conversation. But what else? We got to do a little listening, don't we? And this beautiful image of prayer is Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, comfortable, right there listening, subordinate to him, listening to him teach, allowing him to feed her. How much listening do you do in your prayer? See, the danger is we can just say, Lord, fix my finances. Lord, help so-and-so find a job. Lord, please end the war in Darfur. Lord, please, please, please. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Off to my day. Now, all of those prayers were good prayers. But the Lord might have been saying, but. And we're right off to the next thing. I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to spend more time listening in prayer than speaking. But you say, but how do I listen? I don't hear anything. I will simply say to you that there are different ways of listening in the Spirit. Now, one of them is what we call lectio divina. It's called reading Scripture very devotedly and very slowly. We take the Scripture and we open it. And before we start rushing into the text, we still our soul for a moment. And we say, Lord, you're about to speak to me. I'm going to hear it with my eyes. That is to say, it'll be words on the page. But Lord, open my heart, still my soul, because it is you who is speaking to me in these words and in this moment. And then begin to read very, very slowly, very reflectively, maybe just a few words and stop. Maybe it'll take a sentence. But don't go at it like, oh, yeah, I know this passage. Yeah, this gospel about Martha and Mary. Well, let me read it real quickly. Okay, good. Well, I have my scripture for the day, and that's... Read it like it's the first time you've ever read it, like it's the only time you'll ever read it. Read it slowly. Listen carefully to what the Lord is saying to you. Now, that's a form of listening to God. Another form of listening is to simply still our soul and come before the Lord and say, Lord, you've been talking to me all day long in the events of my day, in the good things you've given me, in the challenges I've faced. What have you been saying to me today, Lord? And just let the Lord bring to mind some of the things he's been saying to you all day long. In the troublesome employee, or the difficult supervisor, or the traffic jam that made you late for the meeting, and so on. What was the Lord saying in all these events? In the amazing blessings that you just walked by and hardly noticed. Remember that old line from the movie The Color Purple? Where Shug says to Seeley, I think God gets mad at us when we walk through a field and miss the color purple. How many blessings did we just walk past in every day? And yet God was speaking in those blessings. Everything from the color purple to the people in my life to just the simple fact that I have air to breathe. Just to take some time and reflect, what are some of the things that God is saying to me? Another way to listen to God is just to sit still and allow the thoughts to come to mind. You say, well, that's not a prayerful thought, but maybe that's what God wants to talk to you about. Whatever he might raise, but sit still and learn to listen and listen to learn. That's a beautiful image of prayer. Mary at the feet of Jesus, listening. Now, I will tell you that our conversation with God doesn't just take place in a 10-minute window that we decide. I have often said, God, what do you want me to do about this situation? Okay, prayer ends. I'm on with my day. Phones going back and forth. 3 days later, I'm walking into Safeway. Aha! See? So don't think that discussion with God, that listening, is only in this one moment. Again, stay open to God. He may zap you with an answer at an unexpected moment. In a side comment that somebody makes in an elevator, whatever. It could be anything. God has his way and his time of answering. And if you and I are smart, we may ask, he may make us wait, but he will answer. But listen to learn and learn to listen. So, Mary is doing something very important here that Martha is missing. Mary is, if you will, showing that you got to first come before you go. You got to come to the Lord before you go out and do his work. You got to receive before you can achieve in the Lord's kingdom. You got to be blessed before you can do your best. All right. So these are some of the lessons that Mary is teaching us in this portrait of prayer. So we've had a promising prelude from Martha. We've had a beautiful portrait of prayer. But look out. Here comes some perturbed and presumptuous Martha. It says here now, Martha, burdened with much serving. All right now. Look out. We've got what you call the hand on the hip and the finger in the air syndrome. Martha is burdened with much serving, and she comes to him and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving? Tell her to help me. Now, she is not only perturbed, but she's presumptuous on two levels. First of all, she presumes the Lord does not care. Secondly, she presumes that the Lord told her he wanted a big meal. He did not. And actually, a third presumption, she presumes to tell him what to do. Now, what happens to us when we get out ahead of God's will, or when we just get away from God's will, is that we get these big ideas and we say, I'm going to go do something for the Lord, and we never ask. And before you know it, we're burdened. You want to know why we're burdened? Because it's the work of the flesh, not of grace. It is not something that God asked or told us to do. You should not presume that God will simply give you the grace to do it, even if it's a good project. Do not forget to ask God's permission. Do not forget to ask God, do you want me to marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I begin this initiative? Should I join this group in the parish? Should... And wait for an answer. Now, we tend, especially when the pastor's calling, to want to answer right away. It's all right if you say, Pastor, let me pray on it, and I'll let you know by the end of the week. That's all right. Now, again, this is especially important about the big things in life. Amen? I'm not asking you to pray a week about whether you have peach jello for dessert or orange jello. We don't want to become, you know, obsessive or compulsive. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to big things and time-consuming things and projects for the Lord, it never hurts to ask. And what happens is we start to get angry and weighed down and frustrated and bitter. That's a pretty good sign that we're out ahead of God's will, or we're off to the side of God's will, or we're completely out of God's will. We may have started a project that, in fact, God wanted, but as we began to go through it, we didn't make the necessary prayerful adjustments with God. You see, sometimes the Lord will say yes, but we have to make other decisions as the project goes on, don't we? Doing a lot of praying, a lot of discerning, a lot of asking, and carefully going forward. And so it is, brothers and sisters, that we have here a very, very important thing. Now, if you're getting frustrated, bitter, and all these things, ask yourself, am I doing stuff that I really ask God about? And if you are, you've got the grace to do it. And you're not going to be all bitter and frustrated and the hand on the hip and the finger in the air stuff. But if you are, say, where have I gotten ahead of God or besides God or completely away from God in this thing? And don't tell me just because it's for the kingdom and for the Lord and it's for the church and that God may say, yeah, I want it, but not you. He may say, yeah, I want it, but later. He may say, I don't want it at all. But let him say it. And this is what happens to us, and this is what's happened to Martha. I want to read to you a woman some years ago, I believe it was Joyce Myers, gave a wonderful description of what she called the Martha Syndrome. I want to read to you her description of the Martha Syndrome. She says, you know, it all starts with a simple suggestion to some friends. Hey, why don't you come on over and we'll throw on a few hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill and we'll open up a bag of potato chips and we'll have some soft drinks. Yeah, we'll just sit in the back patio and have a good time. You know, the kids can play some games on the lawn and it'll be a nice time. What do you say? That's a nice thought. Close friends, a simple, quiet afternoon. But now if you're like Martha, you start to thinking. And all of a sudden, the hot dogs turn into steaks. because after all, you wouldn't want them to think you could only afford hot dogs. And then the potato chips start to turn, they turn into potato salad. And then you got to get your husband to paint the barbecue pit and go out and buy some new lawn furniture and mow the grass and clean the house. Because after all, we got to impress them. And then you start to thinking not only about the six you invited and could have managed, but now you start thinking about the 14 that'll get offended if they know that the other six got invited and you didn't ask them. So all of a sudden, this thing's starting to become a nightmare. And so there you are with Martha Syndrome, cleaning the house and mopping the floors and sending everybody out to the store, and you're out of breath and you're all stressed out, and then invariably you get mad and you put your hand on your hip and your finger in the air, and you're mad at the husband and you yell at the kids and you say, I just don't understand why it is that I had to do all the work around here and everybody else just has fun. Martha Syndrome. And where does all that anger come from? It comes from the flesh, doesn't it? That does not come from someone who is working in God's grace. Because if God gives the grace to do something, we're not all bent out of shape. Now, church, the Lord called me to be a priest 21 years ago. I have no doubt about it. I spent 5 years asking Him, discerning, praying. And I want you to know something. I have sometimes been weary in the work, but I have never been weary of the work. Because God called me to do it. In all these 21 years as a priest, I've had days where I've gone to bed tired. But I have never gone to bed frustrated or bitter about the work of the priesthood. Never. I don't say that out of my flesh. I simply say, the Lord gave me the grace to be a priest. Now, there are some things I've done in the priesthood, little projects that come from my own thinking that have caused me frustration. But I know they didn't come from God. They came from me. And that's why I got frustrated. So I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that when we're really in grace and we've listened to God and God has asked us to do something and we've responded, the grace is there. And we may be at times physically weary, even emotionally weary in the work, but never weary of it. And we're not all bent out of shape. Why isn't somebody else doing their part? And we just know that we're joyful in what God has given us to do. And so it is. After all, we've seen the promising prelude and the portrait of prayer and then a perturbed and presumptuous Martha. Finally, the Lord gives the prescribed priority. He simply says, Martha, Martha. Now, do not make the Lord call you by your name twice. You know, this means that she is off the reservation. She has transgressed. She needs to be called back to her senses. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. Now, that is what happens to us, brothers and sisters, when we are operating out of the flesh, out of our own flesh power, out of our own decisions, our own pride, our own ego, that's what I mean here by the flesh. When we're operating out of the flesh, we're going to be anxious about many things. But only one thing is necessary, says the Lord. Mary's chosen the better part, and she will not be deprived of it. And what is that one thing? To sit at the Lord's feet and listen. Now, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean we'll never do any work. Because at some point the Lord says, well, let's get up and go get pizza. There comes a time when maybe Martha could have put on a meal. There comes a time when Jesus might have said, well, listen, I'll treat tonight. We'll go get some pizza at the local Domino's or wherever, huh? Now I'm going to get some folks. No, go there. Go to this other pizza place. It's better. At some point, the Lord has a work for us. But the one thing necessary is to listen. And then when the Lord tells us what to do, we do it, but not out of flesh power, out of grace power. And that's why the Lord doesn't say work is necessary and prayer is necessary. He says, no, one thing is necessary, that you listen. The prayer of listening is the one thing necessary. Because once I tell you what to do, and you hear me and you obey me, all the graces you need will be there. So it's not like, well, we should have a little bit of prayer and a little bit of work and we need to keep them in balance. That's not what this text is teaching. This text is saying, first come and then go. First listen. Listen before you leap to action. The text is teaching us prayer of listening comes first. Before any major activity that we undertake, listen, ask, pray, and then get moving, but with God's grace. Are you praying with me, church? I want to finish with a little testimony. Most of you know I was away this week preaching to priests up in Connecticut, and the brother priests all want to come here. They all want to come to Holy Comforter St. Cyprian. Because I did not fail to give credit to the Lord and to the communities to which the Lord gave to teach me. But I want you to know something. I had been asked to go up there almost 8-9 months ago, and I prayed and I discerned and I said, you know, I looked at my calendar and I said, you know, vacation, sure, but I really would like, I love to preach. I'd love to reach some of my brother priests, and I've done 2 other priest retreats in the past, and I felt a powerful experience. So I prayed, I discerned, I asked God. He said, yeah, go do it. So I went. And about second day, on Tuesday, I spiked a high fever. I was up around 102.5. I was in the bed, just driven. I said, and all through the night, the devil kept saying, see, you can't preach tomorrow. The devil kept saying, you're not going to be able to preach tomorrow. You just have to tell those men they're on their own for at least one day. And I said, the devil kept saying, you can't preach tomorrow. But church, the devil's a liar. The Lord said, you're right, Charles. You can't preach tomorrow, but I can. And I can speak through Balaam's donkey. I can speak through a feverish Charles Pope. I got up, and I won't tell you, I wasn't a little bit weak, and I got to the podium, and the Lord just took over. See, because it's His work, it's His grace. I'd asked if He wanted me to do it, and He said yes, and He took over. And He was reminding me that even in your weakness, I'm still strong. Because you see, when you're doing God's work, and it really is His decision, He'll give you the grace, and even if you're sick, and even if you find some setbacks, God will overcome them. And I'm frankly not completely over it. I'm not going to give you all the details. You don't want to hear them. I'm just going to say that I don't feel no ways tired, and I will probably take a good nap this afternoon. But I just want to say that the devil's a liar, and God is able. And when you're really doing a work that's God's work, you're not going to be burdened. You're going to be filled with joy, and you're going to have an energy, and you're going to just say, I keep so busy working for the kingdom that I ain't got time to die. I keep so busy praising my Jesus, I ain't got time to die. Oh, I just working for the kingdom. The devil's a liar, and God is able. And Martha has been told that the one thing necessary is to let God lead. Listen, let God lead, follow Him, and He'll give you the graces that you need for every good work. And I have it on the best of authority that Martha heard what the Lord said. And she finally went back and said, Lord, do you want the meal? He said, yeah, just a small meal. And she went into the kitchen singing, I keep so busy serving my master, I ain't got time to die. Amen, church.